WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer. And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
My man, gather around.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Whose reputation for clarity and truth had become a symbol of hope.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Chief architect of this intended revolution and author of this insidious plot.
The Omega.
Frankly, I've never been able to understand violence in any form.
Heartbreak Mike.
Has black hair, blue eyes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and tells the truth.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I sort of have a problem seeing your lid.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Any questions, class?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pod.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters.
If you don't tune in each and every week to WrestleTalk Radio, Matt Hardy.
WTR Sunday night.
I was thinking maybe we could go for a hamburger.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, we have an interesting week in the world of pro wrestling to watch out for and to give our opinions, and we are going to get right into it because, hey, we're starting kind of late. So this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. We have just as much Heartbreak Mike right now as WWE has Chris Jericho. So right now it's just me and the one and only Tim Stein.
And good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Kids, I just have to tell you right now, whatever you do, don't drink 4 cans of Coca-Cola in one sitting at once, and definitely do not chug them. Because caffeine is a horrible thing.
Oh, I've seen people do far worse to far more coffee than that.
Well, yeah, I was just speed talking to start the show, and I thought, you know, whatever. So it's all good. Yeah, so we're just waiting on Heartbreak Mike. He's got a little family stuff that he's taking care of, which is understandable. You know, family comes first. We'll give him, like, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes or so, see what happens there.
10 minutes or you're dead to us.
Until you show up and say hi, at the very least.
Until then, yes.
Yeah.
So I'll make 2 points. You're dead to us.
There you go. Did you hear about my car?
Which one?
I got one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, kind of. Because my other one died on me in the middle of the road.
That's a bad place for a car to die.
Yeah, and I was just waiting for people like, you know, Rock to start teasing me because I'm buying cars that die on me. But, you know, anybody could have had a drivetrain, what do you call that, the timing belt fuck up on them. And see, the thing is, I get such great deals on cars that it costs more to repair them than it does for me to buy them. I paid $500 for the thing that died. But what's awesome is that that car could have sold for $1,800 and I got it for $500 because I'm really good.
And I was told I'm no longer allowed to make fun of you on air about the car.
And I don't understand when that has ever stopped you before. But no, you're not allowed to make fun of me because of my car.
I'm listening for once. So you want me to chime in? I'll chime in and I'll make all the jokes I can. But
no, I mean, I'm appreciating the fact that you're shutting the fuck up for a change. And yeah, you actually listening is really weird, and it's like bizarro world. But I'll take it. So, you know, I stopped you right before, you know, that was a preemptive.
So what's the percentage of rust on this one?
There's very...
Okay, who was the previous owner? Was it Fred Flintstone this time?
No. I picked up, the car that I picked up is actually
Does it require a hand crank or a little key that you wind in the back?
Neither, but it does take a key to start it. But no, it's a 2003 Chevy Cavalier, and it's an automatic, but it's power everything, and all the remote stuff works, because I finally tested the remote starter this afternoon and it fired right up nicely. That was the last thing I had to test out, and it worked. There's a little bit of damage on the rear quarter panel behind the driver's door. That's all. But it's yellow.
Good for it.
It's a Hulk Hogan Cavalier.
It's a banana.
It's a ripoff of Bumblebee.
No, it's not that tone of yellow, because that was like a burnt yellow compared to this is banana.
Tim is going to become a cab driver. Because it's yellow and black.
Do me a favor and quit making the same stupid lame ass fag jokes that my boss makes about my car.
Okay.
I made the joke long before that.
Before we go any further, I did that on purpose, and the reason why I did that was because I wanted to touch really, really quickly on the trouble Stephen Colbert's in. Omega, you know what happened.
Okay, what's about to come out of your cock holster?
I'm not going to say the word, but I'm just saying you know what happened.
Yeah.
He went on a rant against Trump and accused Trump's mouth of being a certain type of thing for Vladimir Putin.
May or may not have been the thing I just mentioned.
Exactly. And so he's in trouble with everybody on Twitter. Well, half the people on Twitter, the other half are defending him. But my question to you is, should he be fined by the FCC for what he said, even though it was like they knew what was going to happen and it was censor beeped?
If it was censor beeped, no.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. What about fire Colbert?
Fuck no. He's a comedian. You know how much heinous shit comedians say all the time?
Well, that's basically, part and parcel of what being a comedian is.
Yeah. I mean, George Carlin used to have a bit where he gave descriptions on how to properly kill yourself.
Yeah.
No one took him to task for it because he's a goddamn comedian. If you're taking what he says seriously, then you're missing the whole point of the comedian, aren't you?
So the complaint is that it was a homophobic slur. Homophobic slur. Was it, in your opinion?
No.
No? No homophobia there?
No, it's not a... No, okay. It's not a homophobic thing to call someone a cocksucker.
Yeah, well,
That is simply an action that has no gender connotation to it.
Well, here's the thing. All right, everybody, I'm going to tell you what the bleep was in case you missed it or wondered what the bleep was and couldn't figure it out.
Tim, hold on.
Yeah? What?
Just listen.
Walking out in the middle of a sentence wasn't even the president's biggest insult to John Dickerson.
And I think, actually, I've been very consistent. You know, it's very funny when the fake media goes out, you know, which we call the mainstream media, which sometimes, I must say, is you. But when the
you
fake
mean me personally or
your show, I love your show. I call it Deface the Nation.
Really? Donald Trump, John Dickerson is a fair-minded journalist and one of the most competent people who will ever walk into your office. And you treat him like that? Now, John Dickerson has way too much dignity to trade insults with the president of the United States to his face. But I, sir, am no John Dickerson. Okay. All right. Let me introduce you to something we call the Tiffany Way. When you insult one member of the CBS family, you insult us all. Bazinga. All right. Here we go. All right.
Oh, get the gloves off.
Mr. Trump, your presidency, I love your presidency. I call it Disgrace the Nation. You're not the POTUS. You're the bloatus. You're the glutton with the button. You're a regular gorge Washington. You're the president, but you're turning into a real pricktator. Sir, you attract more skinheads than free Rogaine. You have more people marching against you than cancer. You talk like a sign language gorilla who got hit in the head. In fact, the only thing your mouth is good for is being Vladimir Putin's holster. Your president's a library. Your presidential library is going to be a kid's menu and a couple of Jugs magazine. The only thing smaller than your hands is your tax returns. And you can take that any way you want.
Well, I didn't expect you to play that or the whole thing or even part of it. Anyway, the point is, it's a stand-up comedy routine and people need to calm down.
When you look at the hashtag Fire Colbert, actually read the hashtag, because when you see a trending topic, it's not so many people want him fired, right? It's more people are reacting to the hashtag. That's why things trend.
So, yeah.
It's Twitter. It's all algorithm. It's not based on people actually believing it. It's just based on how many times it comes up.
You know, this is truth.
I'm looking at the Twitter trends right now in the United States, and right now the Wizards, who are just played a game, are one of the trending topics. And the summary of that trending topic currently reads 8613844602208563.
Yahtzee.
I'm pretty sure that's not the discussion that's going on.
No.
Well, that's a lot of numbers.
Anyone hit bingo?
I'm too short.
Son of a gun.
I will say three of my battleships have sunk, though.
I'm four corners shy of a blackout, if that makes any sense. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I just had a really, really in-depth conversation about this whole thing with a couple of people and just thought it was kind of like, you know, like, quit overreacting.
So staying on the CB Radio news topics from last night, because that's why I had the video. $495 sneakers, Tim. Go.
No.
No?
No.
Why not?
What has this kid done yet that his old man can justify $495? Air Jordans at the height of Mike's popularity didn't cost any more than $150, which, okay, in today's money would be $225. But still, Mike was the man. Michael Jordan was one half of the Chicago Bulls. Scottie Pippen was the other half.
Some would say he's one half of the Chicago Bulls, and the rest of the Chicago Bulls were the other half of the Chicago Bulls.
Well, you could say that, but I'm saying Scottie Pippen was the other half. So it was like the two of them.
So right? they were two-thirds of the Chicago Bulls.
Okay, if you want to play it that way, whatever. But, I mean,
so,
come on.
So, just fuck Dennis Rodman, fuck Horace Grant. Fuck
Tony Kukoc?
I will admit I only know Horace Grant because that's the one he got to play in NBA Jam. Because they couldn't afford Jordan.
And Tony Kukoc was the white guy.
Yeah.
White guys in basketball don't count anymore. Not since the 50s.
And if you listen to his father, they're slow and they cost this team in the tournament.
That's not racism either. Oh my God.
And then he backtracked because, oh, I didn't mean it like that.
Well, then don't say it like that.
Then don't say it.
Exactly. You did mean it because either that or, you know, you don't have that proper filter that keeps you from spewing shit you should keep to yourself.
His explanation was for the $495 is, I thought I liked the price. I wanted three different numbers. I like the price.
You wanted three different numbers.
That is seriously what he said in an interview.
Please tell me nobody. Have you seen these shoes?
I have.
Oh my God, they look like $50 Walmart knockoffs.
They are. Really crappy.
I really hope nobody's dumb enough to actually waste that kind of money on these things.
I can give you an update on that. Hold on one moment. Because I know I have a number. There's a number of people. And these don't come out till November, but people have pre-ordered them. So.
Okay.
Give me a minute to find the number. But, yeah, and the sandals are $200-something. $225. And he said the reason why it's only sandals, it's $225 because it's two different numbers because, you know, they're sandals. They're not shoes. This is the world we live in.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Last Sunday night, there was a pay-per-view. We came on. We reviewed it. We were all absolutely astounded. Chris Jericho won the U.S. title. And I said he's losing it Tuesday in a rematch.
We all kind of figured that. And it was 328 orders for the sneakers in the first 24 hours.
Well, okay, 328 orders in 24 hours. So you got 328 idiots out of how many billions of people planet-wide. Yeah, all right, that's okay.
I mean,
when Air Jordans came out, they sold like a million in 24 hours.
Yeah, if you're really paying that for shoes, I'm sorry, you deserve to have that much money stolen from you.
Or taken, one way or the other.
So if you would like the big baller brand sneakers, spend $495, they're on the internet somewhere.
Doesn't make you a big baller, it makes the guy that you gave the money to a big baller.
But back to Chris Jericho.
Yeah. No surprise he lost the title back to Kevin Owens on SmackDown Live, Omega.
That's pretty much, well, we knew, I said it on the show, like that felt like kind of like an anti-Smark move.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, as if everyone knows he's going on tour, so let's just troll people. Okay, fine. Why not?
And it seems like whenever Chris Jericho is involved over the last 10 years, trolling is not far behind.
No, it's Chris Jericho. Wouldn't be shocked if he had the idea.
Gotta love it. So, what do you think about his run in WWE this go round? How was it for you?
I really liked Chris Jericho this time around. Mm. Like, Jericho is very much the best chameleon in pro wrestling. Every time he comes back, he's not interested in doing the same old shtick. Like, he didn't go back to his list of moves. He didn't go back to this, you know, there will be blood style gimmick. You know, it was a completely new take on Jericho. He's this kind of pompous, you know, this pompous arrogance to him that it's a different flavor than what he had before from, you know, the foppish scarfs and, you know, making a big deal out of a list. You know, there's just like, a lot of what Chris Jericho does, there is like a subtle cleverness to it that is extremely entertaining to watch.
Never thought about it that way, but that's a damn good description. Chameleon. I got to completely, thoroughly 100% agree with you. He has the ability of taking an old gimmick, updating it, and making it fresh and new all over again. How many times have we seen a list from Jericho? Or what was the last list from Jericho?
Armbar.
Well, I'm trying to remember because Jericho did a lot of shticks like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember if his last heel run had anything going like that. I don't think it
did. No, because his last heel run, he sort of was stripping himself away of
everything. Right, right. Yeah, that was the persona that was very much pointing out the hypocrisy of the audience, which was brilliant because he was never wrong, and that's the part that pissed people off. How dare you reveal to everybody the way we are?
Don't point out to my face what I'm like. I don't want to hear that.
Don't point out my personal flaws to the rest of the world.
What was your favorite?
What's it? Go ahead.
No, I was just, you started talking and I was going to start to let you say it, what you was going to say.
No, it wasn't anything.
Okay. This time out, what was your favorite thing about him?
Oh my God. Is it possible to give an answer that isn't the list?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, it got to that point. I'm just waiting for him to lift up that goddamn clipboard. And click the,
click the pen.
Yep.
I loved, it's one of those things that Jericho is a master of doing something that's hysterical, even though he's being a complete asshole about it. You know, it's what made the list so damn funny. Man, he's so good at that, coming up with something that he's being an asshole, but goddamn, he's very funny while he does it. What made me laugh the most, in the list, I think the list, I was sold on that when he put Xavier on it. And Xavier sold it like it was the worst thing that ever happened to him.
It was basically Xavier who made the list by making the list.
Screaming no, like it's the climax of a movie.
Or Darth Vader at the end of the
movie. Yeah.
Sith. No! Oh, shit, yeah. I mean, how can you not say the list? Damn. You know, looking back over his entire career, go back to even WCW, right up until this last bit. I mean, what was your favorite version of him? Seriously.
God, so many versions to pick from.
Rank them.
to rank the Jerichos, the list of Jerichos.
I'm impressed.
I will be honest. Like, there's still such a part of me that remembers his WCW run so fondly because he was so good at just coming up with ways of being really funny while being a total asshole. I remember, you know, it's not just the list. You know, it's going to, like, the Library of Congress to find the very specific rules that allowed him, allow him to get his title back.
Mm-hmm.
Time. It was, him with Ralphus.
Ralphus was awesome.
Ralphus
was
awesome.
Just to interrupt for just a second, how badly do we want to see at least one more run with Ralphus?
I think Ralphus is a little done at this point. But, like, seriously, one of my favorite Jericho moments of all time, and it's very easy to sum up. Where's the ring?
The guy has got one out there sense of humor, and he lets it bleed into his character. The thing about Chris is like that in real life.
Well, I remember I call him a modern Andy Kaufman.
Yep.
Because he's so good at being a bad guy, but if you're in on the joke that he's going with, it's funny and it's entertaining and you want more of it.
Yeah. And it's like, it wasn't until the Jim Carrey movie Man in the Moon that the majority of people found out that Jerry Lawler was in on that joke. And just for those of you guys who missed it, the whole thing, Andy Kaufman goes down to Memphis Wrestling and gets into a back and forth with Jerry the King Lawler that extends to the Late Show. And Omega, I don't know if you ever saw this, but I remember watching it when Lawler got up and slapped Andy Kaufman on Letterman. And Letterman, mm-hmm. Letterman bought it. Letterman did not know that it was all, you know, kayfabe.
Yeah, I remember Comedy Central used to air a one-hour special for Andy Kaufman, and it focused a lot on his wrestling career.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember on that they showed the original footage of him getting slapped. Like, it doesn't come off like, you know, credit to both of them. Of course, one is a Hollywood actor, and the other one is, you know, Jerry fucking Lawler. But credit to both of them. You know, I can imagine watching on TV, I wouldn't have been able to tell that it was an angle.
Well, it was a wrestling slap combined with a Hollywood punch roll, and it was absolutely perfect.
It was realism
at its finest. It's just my whole thing about that is just the reaction of people for not just the next day or the next week or the next month. This lasted a year.
When Andy Kaufman resurfaces in 2025.
Because we all know he faked his death because his death is a practical joke.
Never smoked a day in his life. How'd he die of lung cancer?
Yeah, you know, I gotta tell you, yeah, and he also ate nothing but health food and he was a vegetarian and all this other stuff, but, I can understand people actually falling or, you know, buying into his death is actually a hoax and he's gonna show up.
It honestly wouldn't surprise me. It honestly, with Andy Kaufman, no, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, not with Andy.
Did you ever see his network special?
Oh shit, yeah, hell yeah! You got to remember that was like my young adult days.
Like that was brilliance back then.
Yeah.
I love like the interview segments where he noticed that like every talk show host had like a little bit more raise to the desk than everyone, so there's always sat higher than their guests. So
just
his was like
a little bit, yeah.
So his were like, so his desk in an interview segment was 20 feet tall.
Yep. Looking way down. But that flicker that he put in his special?
Oh my.
My dad fell for it. And I'm laughing my ass off and he's like, what are you laughing at? And I just like, I don't know, dad, you know, I don't know how I knew subliminally, you know, like subconsciously,
mm-hmm.
that this was Andy Kaufman.
You know what? Troll. That's trolling. That's the original.
I was just about to say Andy Kaufman, the original troll. And Chris Jericho has that type of, it's not quite as pronounced as Andy was, but, nobody is, quite as pronounced as, Kaufman was. But that's the same type of humor that Jericho presents. It's not stand-up comedy. It's performance art.
Oh yeah.
And the one thing you could never call Andy Kaufman was a stand-up comedian, because he would just legitimately get pissed off at you.
Oh yeah, like even when he did a stand-up show, there's nothing stand-up about it.
No, but I tell you, he sure pulled off a mean Elvis Presley. That was absolutely incredible when he comes out, and this was like before the TV sitcom Taxi. He come out and do the foreign guy, which was you know, his character Lodka Gravis in the TV show Taxi. And he would come out talking like that, get the crowd believing that's what he really sounded like. And yeah, he would say, "No, I do my impressions for you." And he would do all these different people in the exact same voice. And the whole crowd is starting to get pissed off at him. And then, "Now I would do Elvis Presley." And as you see, he's slowly stripping off his clothes, like, you know, it's the tearaway clothing. And he's got the jumpsuit underneath. And he goes and he tapes up the sideburns to each side of his face, slicks back his hair, lifts the collar up, grabs the guitar, does the lip quiver.
Mm-hmm.
And his impression of Elvis Presley so fucking bang on, the entire room just blew up.
Mm-hmm. Into that's back when, before there were like Elvis impersonators is a common thing.
Yep.
So that was really weird, and it was a really spot on impression. He'd get done with the song, everyone's cheering, as soon as the applause dies down, it gets back to the microphone and go, "Thank you very much."
Yeah, that's it.
Right back to it.
Like right into it again. And that thank you very much at the end, that knocked the roof trusses, because the roof was already blown off. That just knocked the trusses off. Because going back to it, then people got it. Oh, I get it. Okay. And that's Jericho. Jericho memories? I can't pick one over the other.
Yeah, like other than the originals, like I've already gone through a few of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, moving on, like WCW to like coming into WWF at the time, and my God, was there a better foil for Jericho than Stephanie McMahon?
No.
With the exception of The Rock.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just supposed to say, okay, I can point this out as my absolute number one, barely edging everything else out, which is a close second, would be his WWF debut. Would you please do me a favor and shut the hell up right in the middle of Rock's promo? Who in the blue hell are you?
Anytime him and The Rock were dueling on a microphone, even more when they were both together on a microphone, it was gold. Jericho was one of the only guys who could hang with Rock on a microphone.
Yep.
Them going back and forth trading blows on Stephanie McMahon.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. When he finally retires for good, we're all going to be that much poorer. We really are. Unfortunately, that's too bad. But, you know, his current, brand new tour with Fosse will eventually be over and we get him back. So that's, you know, look forward to that. If you're a Fozzy fan, look forward to the concerts. If you're a Jericho fan, Y2J, look forward to the concert tour being done.
And if you're a Mongoose McQueen fan, just hang on. He's coming back.
Thank you very much.
There you go. Thanks, Rock. A little slow to the party, but at least you showed up.
Hey, he found it. Let's give him credit for that.
I had it like 2 minutes ago, but neither one of you stopped talking, so I had to talk a second.
Well, I'm sorry, but when Omega and I start talking about the shit that we're mutually passionate about, and that's, you know, smart entertainment and stand-up comedy and performance art, it's hard to get us to, like, you know, am I wrong?
Why am I dressed like the poop kicker?
So, yeah, anyway, I'm just really glad that we're able to enjoy Jericho every time he comes back. What's really nice is he does take these breaks so he doesn't get stale. And when he comes back, he's not part-time.
Yeah. You know, and when we get him back, he's going to figure out something new.
Yep. I can't wait to see what the new thing is. And I got to tell you, yeah, my latest favorite was the list of Jericho.
You just made the list!
I don't mean the list of holes. I'm talking about, you know, you're making the list.
Now, to be credit, now to give credit too, like his chemistry with Kevin Owens was amazing too.
Oh yeah,
the entire run. Like when we thought they were having the big blow off promo, when we thought like they were like it's very close to like Mark Henry retiring levels of okay, I'm buying into this.
Yep.
Like they're about to come to blows. They're about to come to blow. Oh, fuck you too. I'm applauding, but fuck you too.
Yep.
Back in November and December, we thought, okay, they're breaking up. Yep. Gonna be a thing. Jericho's done. He's leaving. Nope. Then we have the Festival of Friendship in February where the breakup happened. That was really good.
Why is my name on this list? This list of KO on the back. That's such a good little punctuation mark.
That was so awesome when he opened it up and pulls it out and he held it perfectly horizontally so you couldn't see it. And then completely theatrical, slowly tilts it up so you see the list of KO after he says, what's my name doing on it? It was awesome.
I'm going to really miss Jericho now.
Well, that's why I say, you know, just look forward to his return next fall. And hopefully it's no longer than that.
Hopefully.
Mm. Holy cow, can you believe it's been 15 years since WWE was born?
God, I can remember as a kid, they used to say they've been around for 50 years. How the hell did it only go to that?
Mm. Yeah, well,
oh, the E. Oh, the E. Oh.
There you go. Yeah. 15 years ago this week, World Wrestling Federation told the world to get the F out.
Because they took a three count from a panda.
Yeah. And here's the thing, World Wildlife Foundation got all pissed off. You're using the initials WWF.com. Well, you know, here it is. World Wildlife Fund, their website URL was panda.org. Still is. What comes up if you go to WWF.com?
It's probably just redirects.
I haven't looked at it lately. Something's got to pop up. I remember somebody actually had it and it was, something unrelated to either one. So while
unable to connect.
There you go. I was about to say, threat has been detected. The threat was detected. Yeah. The site cannot be reached. That's what I got. And I also got a, you heard the warning.
Yeah.
So, oh well. Did it hurt them changing the, like getting rid of the F, just having the logo WWE and calling themselves WWE?
In a way, I think it did.
Yeah.
Well, aside from a lot of, well, we know financially going back and editing, you know, decades worth of material that was all marked WWF was a nightmare.
It's just, until they made another deal.
Yeah. So they don't have to do that anymore. So, okay, that's fine. But, you know, that made it hard for them for years, you know, and then, I still hear people call it WWF.
Yep.
Just because that was so burned into pop culture and largely because, you know, especially because of the eras people remember the most, you know, being Hulk Hogan. It was definitely WWF. The Attitude Era was Stone Cold and The Rock. It was WWF. And that's where so many of your casual audiences are from and how many people still remember those days and they'll still call it just by reflex WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it was when they watched.
Yeah, the majority of the people that call it WWF haven't watched since 2001 or have never watched and just remember it as that. So I don't know. I think that it really hasn't hurt them publicly, like in the face of people, other than people were mad at World Wildlife Foundation. I remember that. All those internet pictures of Triple H taking a sledgehammer to a panda. Photoshopped, of course, because it didn't really happen.
No.
Yeah. But my whole thing, I was pissed off at World Wildlife Foundation. The only reason this like was turned into a big bloody deal by them was the advent of the internet and getting WWF.com. And now neither of them have it. And it's just a case of, well, if you can't have it, nobody can. Cause they never went after it. They never stipulated in their lawsuit that WWE should transfer the domain to them or anything.
At the time, it was just as much. Well, in a way, I can understand that right now because over on my YouTube, on the YouTube side of things, a lot of people are going through the same thing where sometimes it's just recognition. It's just having yourself associated with something that would otherwise be undesirable. You know, if you're doing this
you're doing the World Wildlife Fund, you're trying to raise money for innocent animals and conservation efforts and really positive things, and here you are with the same initials as this other company online that is all about, at the time, you know, beating each other with steel chairs, really bloody matches, and a lot of sexually charged storylines. And that's just, that's not good for a business.
Not much at all. No, but.
I don't know. It was always frustrating to me. I always felt like they were butting into something that was none of their business just because they got, you know, out of nowhere, all of a sudden now, oh, now we're upset over the initials. It's
well,
all fine.
Vince Sr. had Worldwide Wrestling Federation. Then he changed it to World Wrestling Federation. How long ago? Back in the late 70s? World Wildlife Foundation was around back then. How come they didn't bitch that they turned it into the WWF?
When something starts to make money and then you realize that, oh, hey, popularity, money, something's getting over, now you bitch. And then you go back and add trademarks to things randomly. wait, talk about it later. Never mind. My bad.
Add trademarks randomly.
Hashtag broken panda.
There you go. So, yeah, I don't know. I think their movement away from the Attitude Era to ruthless aggression is what hurt them more.
But it gave us John Cena.
So, and like John, you said.
Yeah, John Cena came in at the ass end of the Attitude Era.
But
the very, very death of the Attitude Era. And then, ruthless aggression. I still love that t-shirt, toothless aggression.
But it also gave us Batista.
Oh, don't tell me he's coming back.
I'm not telling you he's coming back.
He's interested in me coming back to WWE, at least part-time. But here's the thing. Only thing he wants to do is work a program with Triple H, and that's it.
He's all about that Triple H movement.
No, shut up.
It's called There's Nobody Else Left in the Company That He Used to Feud With.
I don't know. Omega, do you have a problem with him coming back as a part-time wrestler wrestling Triple H as a part-time feud?
Yes. Keep in mind, I am very happy. Like, I'm very happy for his success. It is stunning to me that Batista is actually kind of starting to approach the level of success The Rock has.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he got in on the good comic book franchises.
Ooh.
I'm sorry, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last night, and I was thoroughly amazed. I mean, one of the last DC comic movie I saw was Suicide Squad, and I'm like, Rock, you backed the wrong horse here. But no, like, credit where credit's due. He's made a great name for himself. He's making huge bucks over in Hollywood. And I respect the fact that he wants to come back at all. The fact that he does, you know, he did Guardians 1, it was a huge success, and he comes back for like an actual run with the company.
Yeah.
Okay. All the credit in the world for wanting to do that and doing that. And now you've got Guardians 2, which is banking even more, and he still wants to come back.
Yeah.
Even if it is just with Triple H, okay. Good on you. That said, you gotta be willing to do more than that, because the money is in seeing the matches that we haven't seen already. We've seen Batista versus Triple H several times. We wanted to, you know, we want to see him go up against new blood. We want to see him feud with the likes of, you know, like a Bray Wyatt or someone who could provide a different type of match with him.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Yeah, this is a no-win scenario because you're going to get a shitload of people bitching about a part-timer coming back and taking away spots from people who are busting their ass to make it in the WWE, blah, 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 taking away TV time from all these other people deserve it, yada, yada, yada. You know, you can't win for losing. It's a no-win situation. Yeah. Well, we don't want to see you do Batista Triple H for the 30th time, even if it hasn't happened for 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's been a decade. So what? We've already seen it. You know what? Here's the thing. As long as they don't make the matches really long with really long entrances during any kind of TV programming, SmackDown Live or Raw, don't care. As long as it's not drawn out and it doesn't take a lot of TV time away from those who deserve it. WWE has a hard time filling Monday nights with anything that has to do with a lot of in-ring action really, seriously. If you ever watch an online upload of WWE and get rid of all of the backstage segments and all the extra little shit, you've got 90 minutes of wrestling, which seems like a lot, but that's only half of a three-hour program. Yeah, that is exactly half of a three-hour. I was just double-checking my math.
Carried LeBron, subtracted the three. Anyway.
No subtraction. It's add carry, and then there you go. You're done. Yeah. I don't know. I just like, you know, Batista coming back. Is the crowd going to be happy he's come back? Probably not. Is the crowd going to be happy that he's back to beat up Triple H? Maybe.
Here's good news for you, Tim.
What's up?
Vince McMahon and told him no.
Vince McMahon just told him no. Good.
He told Chris Jericho on Talk Is Jericho podcast that Vince McMahon said no to the idea of him coming back to feud with Triple H.
Well, there you go. Then why are we even talking about it?
I was just asking a simple question. Would you be interested in seeing it?
Oh, there you go. Well, okay. Short answer, yes or no. How about you, Omega?
If it's done right, I'd be fine with it.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's a short answer. On that note, we should probably take our first time out of the evening.
And to answer a serious question, it's a slow week.
There you go. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, if you live in the Calgary area and your car breaks down, you got to call a towing company, and I know which one you got to call. So stay tuned, and I'll tell you after the break. We'll be back in about 5,000 days. This television has a poison on its breath. This counterculture of both wicked lies and death. It makes my eyes bleed every time I turn around. How will they all feel when I bring them to the ground? And I stand, I walk the miles and stop this bit of danger. A place where no one follows me.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply DaBomb.com.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air? Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Now available at youtube.com/rec radio show is brand new daily content. On Mondays and Tuesdays, we dive into the history of Raw and SmackDown with recreated matches from the history of both Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. On Wednesdays, WTR Sims Archives will be featured from the previous night's live stream. On Thursdays and Fridays, step into the ring for a male and female King of the Ring tournaments with legends battling today's stars. All of this content from WWE 2K17 available daily at youtube.com/recradioshow. Subscribe today so you don't miss out on all the action.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, you're gonna put something on that list. Why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
I've been high, I've been low, traveled down every single road. I've been love, I felt pain. It's all just a part of the game. And there's people out there get you down, cause they're crying the blues. Yeah. Just cause they ain't ever done, it's got nothing to do with you. So don't give up, don't look down, cause your time is gonna come around. Don't look back, come too far.
And welcome back to WTR
Sunday. I was about to say that. Welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Is it okay? Can I say that?
Yes, you can say that.
Okay, I just said that. Yeah. So, like I was saying, you know, a lot of people in Calgary listen to the archives and some tune in live. You got a car, you're driving down the street, it breaks down, you need a tow, call 403-542-9896. Talk to Karen. And he'll help you out. Hey, if you want to get rid of an old junk car, he paid me $200 for mine. That's pretty good.
Wow.
So, yeah, the phone number one more time, kids, 403-422-9896. And Karen will help you out. Godlike Towing, that's the company you want to deal with.
Now, before we get into the rest of the segment two, we have a update.
This is your WTR Fantasy Week 2 update. Here are this week's scores. Team Intern with 19 points. Team Lindsay with 12 points. Team Rock with 11 points. Team Mike with 6 points. Team Tim with 5 points. And Team Omega with 1 point. Here are totals after Week 2. In first place, both Team Tim and Team Lindsay with 27 points. In third place is Team Rock with 25 points. In fourth place is Team Mike with 23 points. In fifth place is Team Mintern with 12 points. And in last place, Team Omega with 6 points. This has been your WTR Fantasy Update.
I'm in the lead.
Sort of. Sort of in the lead.
I'm in the lead.
He's sort of in the lead.
I'm in the lead. I'm leading.
Lindsay's also tied for first.
That's beside the point. I'm in the lead. That's all there is to it.
You can't be in the lead if someone is right next to you.
Well, she's in the lead too, okay?
And the plan is working so well.
Hey. Hey, the plan is there is no plan.
No,
there is absolutely a plan. Yes. And it's going according to plan, but you don't know the plan, so you don't know that.
Okay, you guys are driving me to drink.
Omega has a very clear and well thought out plan. We're last place.
No faith in the plan. No faith.
Just you could, you never know, your points could be really much lower than what they are right now. Because of the
by my own doing, I am aware of this.
Just pointing that one out. Now let's get back into the show, Tim.
I don't know. I think we should see if we can find Heartbreak Mike. Mike!
Yes?
I found your face!
You found the black guy.
I found Mike. Mike, you gotta remember, I'm Canadian. I don't care. You could be purple. It doesn't matter.
I hope I'm not purple.
Well, take a breath and you won't be.
In the business, you know, depending on who's doing what, being purple, you never know. You may get over.
Okay, sure.
Okay, uh-huh.
Look, I've seen people do it. I've seen people get hit with kendo sticks. They've been purple in the face. And apparently people like that. So.
Wait a minute. Who thought that black guys could get black eyes?
You know what?
Anyway, he was sort of segueing into our topic that is up for discussion now, Tim.
Thank you.
So, Tim, tell us what the discussion is.
Oh, you're in pro wrestling. It's 2017. What do you have to do and be successful at to get over?
Fucking skill.
You're wrong, Mike.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, WWE terms? You have to be related to anybody from the Samoan dynasty.
You're wrong.
You're wrong, Mike.
You're wrong.
Is be an internet darling and then don't have any good wins for about 4 years in WWE.
Close.
Or getting leaks.
Not leaks. Memes. According to people on the internet, if the internet is very kind to you with memes, you're over.
You have to appeal. You have to appeal to the people that post on social media at the end of the day.
What?
Winning and losing does not matter. Memes matter.
What the
I wish I was making this up, but I got a tweet about this.
Okay, you cannot back up a social media thing with something that came through social media.
Why? I asked the question. I can't find Jinder Mahal. Take him seriously. Explain it to me, basically. He's worked hard on his look, and the internet has taken to him kindly with many, many memes. Kind of what matters today.
Does it ignore the fact that the memes are not pleasant?
Winning matches doesn't matter as much as who you lose to.
Like, literally, like, every time I see anything about Jinder Mahal, it is in the negative.
Yeah.
He's getting memes, but it's making fun of him for looking like his body is 95% human growth hormone.
So in some fans' minds, memes are working over. But in your expert opinions, what will it take to get over with people today?
Killing Roman Reigns.
Yes.
The most over heel in WWE. Who? Braun Strowman. Why? Because he beats up Roman.
We are dealing with a Hollywood Hogan situation where anyone you put up against Roman Reigns is immediately the biggest reaction of the night and the biggest face reaction of the night. Problem is, Roman isn't booked as a heel. It's like booking Hollywood Hogan if he had X-Pac heat.
Yeah.
He's right. That's the thing. I think.
Stirring analysis only here on WTR Sunday nights.
My issue, Jesus Christ. Like, memes, really? Like, come on now. Y'all niggas is crazy. I can't fathom. It's like, what the fuck? Okay, let's do a meme of Triple H and in his evil grr face. What the bitch the fuck is wrong with you? And then fine. A lot of memes I've seen, and then now apparently it's about to be the Braun Strowman meme. I'm not through with you yet! Or whatever the fuck it is. What the entire fuck? Whatever happened to, oh, that guy's good because he gives a good story. Oh, I forgot. It's 2017. That's where fuck nuggets don't even know what the fuck some wrestling is. Because if you really understood how to get a person over, it's by skill, by heel or face. And it's funny because we were talking, because a few friends of mine were talking about this. I forgot one wrestler did something to the point where, there it is, Triple H became champion when he did the Royal Rumble. And everybody was like, fuck the WWE, Triple H made himself champion. That was the point, you fuck nuggets.
That's what we like to refer to as the Triple H movement.
But see, I'm sorry, fuck the Triple H movement right now. But
no, it's your point. You're making the point about the Triple H movement. Continue.
And considering the fact that Triple H even said, I'm going to tweet about it, not watch wrestling. Yes, because half of these dickheads don't know what it means to have a good storyline. All it is flashy and everything else. And it's like, who are we going to talk to? Who is this? First, everyone hated John Cena. First, then everyone hates Roman Reigns. Well, never mind. Now we have a legit reason to hate Roman. But then, y'all telling me that y'all niggas don't like NXT? Y'all niggas don't like PWG, ROH? Oh, the Hardys came back and they're the fucking hot shit. But that's not getting, but they're not over. Two words. Matt Hardy.
You did the joke wrong. Matt freaking Hardy.
No. I'm in that rage mood because I'm sorry, but yes, the FCC may have to cut us off, but it's how I feel. A lot of these motherfuckers don't understand what it means to get somebody over. There were a lot, and it's sad. Even the businesses themselves, and Tim, correct me if I'm wrong, but last time I checked, it's not about winning or losing. It's how you perform your craft.
Here's the thing. Fans and marks and people who think they are smarts but really aren't think that it's important to hold that title.
The thing of it is...
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The person chasing that title has a bigger role in the company than the person holding the title.
But
speaking as a promoter and a booker, this is where this is all coming from right now. Okay? And if I'm using you to get all of these other people over, the crowd doesn't understand or realize that you are the chosen one, not these people you're getting over. These people you're getting over need to be gotten over. Charlotte, when she first came up from NXT, needed to be gotten over. Who got her over?
Her daddy.
Natalia Neidhart.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Nikki Bella needed that extra little bit. Who gave her that extra little bit?
John Cena.
Natty. No, Natty. Okay. How many girls on the roster have worked with Natty and gone on to bigger and better because they worked with Natty?
Mickie James.
Practically all of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too.
Okay.
But if you want people that actually stand out, I would say Tamina, but no. Mickie James, Charlotte, any woman in NXT from the Four Horsewomen. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Natalia has worked all of them.
No.
Not quite.
No.
Who hasn't she worked?
Bayley. Sasha.
She hasn't needed
to. She hasn't worked Sasha. Wait.
Not on, no. She was down in, she did some stuff in NXT.
That's what I'm talking about.
I don't think stuff
in NXT. No. We're concentrating on the main roster.
No, I don't think they worked down in NXT.
Natty was down in NXT doing stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking about an actual match on television. I don't think they ever did.
No. She was down in NXT doing stuff with the girls. It wasn't on TV. You're missing what I'm saying here.
I was going off of what he was saying. Anyway, continue, Tim.
Yeah. Anyway, no, Mrs. TJ Wilson, remember?
Continue, Tim.
Anyway.
I could make so many jokes.
The most important person on the roster is the person being used to get the other person over, not the person holding a title belt. And who put it out there? It was BG James saying that the title isn't important last year. Remember that? And it had the Facebook and Twitter all up in arms. Then why the fuck bother with it then? Okay, what he said it the wrong way. But I'm essentially saying the same fucking thing. I don't agree with hotshotting a belt and have it change hands 3, 4, 5, or 10 times in a year or a month, Charlotte and Sasha. But you get the idea, right?
Yes.
Is this now clarified and making more sense to you?
No, I mean, it's always made sense. My thing is, I have a very pet peeve of when motherfuckers don't understand what it truly means to go over, considering the fact of how much time, character development, repertoire for moves. A lot of people don't know that. That's been my gripe for the longest, because the fact that we as wrestlers, and I'm sorry, but I have to say this, us as wrestlers, considering the fact that we have to either give a reason to give an invigorating match or give a reason for you guys to hate us.
Well,
if you get a negative feedback on a heel saying, fuck that guy, you're over, because you played your part. If you are wearing fucking merchandise and you're a face or heel or tweener, whatever, no fist, just flips, you're over.
Here's the thing. No heat is bad heat unless your name is X-Pac.
But even that got him over.
Yes.
Yep.
Every wrestler is over for something. Anybody that's affiliated in the wrestling industry is over. Paul Heyman didn't have to wrestle a match. EC fucking W. Paulie Dangerously. The Dangerous Alliance.
The Advocate.
The Advocate. And even after The Advocate, he is still doing Heyman Hustle. He's doing a couple of other shows. He understands, and this is why I love Paul Heyman.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to just like throw this out there really quickly, and then you can continue and then run with this and discuss it with Omega too. All of the guys and girls in WWE currently who are the most over have one thing in common. They are absolutely unbelievable on the microphone.
Right.
Paul Heyman, front and center, leading that charge. Go.
Absolutely. And then I'm sorry, and Omega can agree with me for this one. Three words. Please sign Cedric. Niggas didn't know who he was until he proved that he could go toe-to-toe with some of the best cruiserweights. And considering the fact that he had a standing ovation, and niggas were saying, please sign Cedric, that, my friends, is being over.
I want to disagree with that one. When it's only in front of 200 people, they already know him.
But see, you understand what I mean, though.
I understand what you mean.
No. I have to agree with Rock here. Now, I can agree with the stance. I can agree where it comes from. But in the example, you're dealing with a room of about 200 fans who are dedicated WWE fans who come to these weird NXT tapings and then weird Cruiserweight Classic tapings. You know, and we know from, pull a rabbit out of my hat and say Adam Rose. We know a very small crowd has a very different feel to it, and energy goes through it very, very quickly, and everyone kind of gets excited around each other. But we know that dies immediately in a larger crowd who just doesn't get what's going on. The people who are into it are too far apart.
Adam Rose worked great in NXT. Absolute bomb on Raw.
Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt would be absolutely fantastic if they didn't keep jobbing him out every fucking pay-per-view and actually made him the new face of fear instead of calling him the new face of fear.
Yeah, that's where – that's hey, Road Dogg, that's where your 50-50 booking is fine. It's bullshit.
Well, the reason why I said Bray Wyatt was not because of – what was it? Not because of now. FCW, NXT – when he just started, fuck you, Baltimore, for calling him Husky Harris on his debut, because I was fucking there. And he still had that, he still had those followers, you know? Husky Harris wasn't working, I'm sorry. And then he came up with this character, this Louisiana, my name is Lil Bray Wyatt, and blah, 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 and it's like, oh, shit. This is interesting.
Well, it was different. It was unique.
It was original and creative.
And it just has this aura of charisma to him. He is, in a way, very adept at being a cult leader because he's so eloquent at pulling you in with what he's saying, even if it's really creepy.
You're right. I mean, it is creepy. But also, Bray Wyatt had that Southern feel that no other Southern wrestler had, and then with the Fireflies and everything else. And to be perfectly quite honest, he probably could have did better without the Wyatt family. Probably, because they're just missing Sister Abigail.
Sister Abigail's the worst thing that he could ever have.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, it is. Well, no. A dancing gimmick is the worst thing he could ever have.
That didn't shut up.
But
I'm sorry.
I'm wrong.
Okay,
no, you're not wrong. So I'm sorry that we're
somebody
we're
talking call my
about
mama.
This
I'm wrong.
I know. I'm sorry, guys, that we're talking about this for a while, but it just
just stop right there for a second, and I'll tie this all together. You hit on a point to get over in wrestling. It's being original, it's being creative. And we tie this all back around to the first segment. Who was the most original creative person on the roster in the last year, Omega?
three options, and the first two won't count.
Chris Jericho. That's what gets over. Being original, being creative.
Well, that counts for something. That counts immensely. I say being original and being creative and being counteracts a lot of deficiency. Enzo Amore, hello. How are you doing?
He's charismatic, but again, you know, I complained about this, last week, 2 weeks ago?
He's charismatic, but he's also one of the few guys I've seen who has mic skills that are up there with guys from the Attitude Era.
I'm thinking he could go toe-to-toe with Jericho and The Rock. And put all three of them in the ring with the microphone and see what happens.
Now, to tie this all together, originality, creativity, the broken hearties.
That's the only point where your meme theory actually has credence. Because the internet buzzed huge for Matt Hardy, and purely on internet buzz, look at the reaction every week. People know the mannerisms. They know delete. They know all of these things that this gimmick entails, even though they haven't seen it in WWE.
But it became a viral sensation. So much so that a certain company with an owl wants to hold on to these trademarks so the world cannot see this brilliance.
Why did they not file for trademarks until all of this came about with WWE? Why didn't they file trademarks while the Hardys were with them?
No, I didn't have any of my own points to make about that thing. Let's move on to the Hardy topic.
I'm tying it all together, Omega.
I know, but this is a cutoff point to go into that.
Finish your point, Omega.
I was saying that, charisma and originality play huge factors in getting someone over, but it's also helps you make up for deficiencies like Enzo. Not great in the ring, amazing on the mic. That said, AJ Styles doesn't get much mic time.
I disagree. He gets enough.
He gets enough, but it's not why he's over. He's over because he's the best fucking wrestler in the world right now.
He is phenomenal.
Thank you, Tim. but to the point, look how many people were buzzing. Oh, look, every year when we have, when New Japan does their, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, and how many people on the internet are over as hell on guys like Tanahashi, like Okada, like Kenny Omega. Even though you've never heard a lick about them for the rest of the year, those guys get those, you know, they get so much attention from the internet. They get so, you know, they get their own memes. They get all the interviews posted on all the dirt sheets. Because all you take away from them is those performances that they put on in their version of WrestleMania.
Let me take your AJ Styles and put him up right beside your Chris Jericho, Omega, okay? Mm-hmm. And you look at the two. And to steal from Chris Jericho, they are each the best in the world at what they do. What does Chris Jericho do that he is the best at?
Insult Stephanie McMahon.
He's an awesome wrestler. He's great. He's technically skilled. He was trained here in Calgary, the Heart Wrestling and all this other stuff. So he knows what he's doing, and he's been schooled in psychology. And when he gets in the ring, he's great and fantastic and stuff like that. But his strong point is entertaining the crowd when he's out of the ring. Okay, AJ Styles, he can talk on the mic. He can cut a promo. But his strong point is knowing when to give the crowd the high spot and when to do the rest hold and when to do this, that, and the other thing in the ring. At the end of the day, it's not being the best on the mic. It's not being the best in the ring. It's being the best at what you're focused on and being the best at what the crowd gloms onto. Agree or disagree?
Honestly, yeah, that I would agree with.
Enzo Amore, another perfect example.
I think audience responds to those who are passionate about what they do and who the people you can see are into what they are doing. We said it before so many times is that the best persona you can come up with in wrestling is yourself turned up to 11. And why is that? Because it's genuine. Because the place it comes from is where you really are. It's not a character you put on. It comes from a piece of you. So there is a drive, there is a passion to it that you don't normally get from people who are just putting on a gimmick, you know, because it's Monday night. You know, I see that in my field. I see that all over. These places the most are the people you can tell they are into what they are doing. And Jericho, you can tell he is so much into that performance. You can tell with AJ, he is into, you know, his ring work. You know, it's that element of their drive to do what they do so well that resonates with an audience. You know, I'm driving rock nuts because I keep mentioning it, but I'm going through this like catching up on Lucha Underground on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
Episode four, no spoilers.
Something spoilers. To watch. Oh, you're like, only on episode four? Oh.
Like,
no spoilers. La 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 la.
And you don't want spoilers because they seriously like, they write their final episode and then they write backwards from there. So everything just flows so well storyline wise. But like they've got guys on there where like they're so good in the ring. Like Drago is so good in the ring, but gets very little personal time. But I'm so into Drago as a performer. And then you've got guys like Pentagon Jr., who's all of his promos are in Spanish. And for some reason, Netflix didn't subtitle most of the ones in season two, so I don't have half a clue what he's saying. But he's so goddamn into what he's doing, I'm ready to cough up the money for a Pentagon shirt.
Oh, hell yeah.
Fucker is amazing.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Who are these people? All I see is Chavo.
It's just,
oh, you whore. You'll, did you hear, Omega?
Hear what? And keeping in mind, he's four episodes into season one.
He may be signed.
What?
You can say things. I know all about what happens to say it.
Yeah. Pentagon may be signed. Someone is watching him.
Don't do that to me.
I wish. In fact, let me.
But,
Please hold. I'll send you the picture.
Anyway, you were saying Omega.
Yeah, you were saying. Don't mind me.
I was saying that it's, you know, it's just like I'm into that right now. It's like in Juicy's that show, I am so invested in some of those characters because they are doing what they do so goddamn well.
It gets better. Oh my god.
I need to completely legally and officially obtain season 3.
It's on iTunes.
Oh yes, iTunes. Perfect. Yes, that's exactly what I will do.
Having it on Netflix is so much better than trying to watch an episode on YouTube.
No, absolutely.
I know.
Yesterday I sat and watched 4 episodes because it just kept streaming. Like, that was awesome.
Like I said, it flows so well. I told you, I can sit there and marathon. I get bored 3 hours of Raw. I sit and watch 3 hours of Lucha, and I'm like, bring on hour 4. Fuck it. I want to see more.
He said bring on hour 4. Fucking love it. Fucking love it.
I'm so sad I went through all my Netflix shows.
We will show you where to get them on the iTunes. I think you can buy a whole season pass.
Mm.
From what I've heard. Anyway, so can I now talk about the trademark thing, Omega?
Okay, you have my permission to proceed with the trademark discussion.
Okay. The owl wants to keep the broken trademarks.
Fuck that owl.
Why don't they have trademarks for their other superstars?
Because their other superstars don't make them money.
A whole lot of money.
But if their name of the game is to make money off of the people they have in their company, why shouldn't they, you know, everyone should be able to make the money, right? 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 In theory, that should be the thing. They should have trademarks for everybody, right?
In theory, yeah. In theory, they do it just to protect their characters that they are, you know, air quote, creating. So I don't believe for a second they had anything to do with that gimmick.
Here's a little tidbit for everybody. TNA Wrestling, TNA Entertainment, once had the trademark for Soccer Moms. I kid you not.
Okay.
That they'll spend money on trademarking. It was for a reality series. That they'll spend money on. Other trademarks, not so much. And the fact that they now filed it at the end of April, officially. They filed Broken Matt, Brother Nero, Vanguard One, and Broken Brilliance.
So they actually have these trademarks filed. It's in the actual patent office, because we were under the impression that they were trying to get all of... We were under the impression that
if you get,
the Hardys already trademarked all that.
If you go to the U.S. trademark website, you can see what's up there.
Fucking lovely.
It's a thing, yeah. I like that they did Broken Matt. Not Broken Matt Hardy. Broken Matt. Because Matt Hardy owns Broken Matt Hardy. While TNA, Impact Wrestling, wants Broken Matt.
Now, depending on who did that first, there are ways you can dispute that.
A lot of ways.
March 1st, 2017, Broken Matt Hardy was filed, and on April 28th, Broken Matt was filed. Impact Wrestling filed for Brother Nero on April 28th. I do not see another Brother Nero of trademark, so no one actually filed for Brother Nero, because they shouldn't have to, because his middle name is Nero.
Nero.
This is my brother. Pause. Nero.
David Otunga is going to have so much fun with the owl.
Sibling Nero. What you do is you just sit and wait for TNA / Impact / Anthem, whatever the fuck, to inevitably need the money again. I know Anthem's a huge company, but there's only so much money you're going to throw into a sinkhole. Because to my knowledge, they've not made a dime in a long time.
But they're going back out on the road soon.
That'll help, sure. People actually have to want to come out to see them for that to work.
But they're going back out on the road. Thing. They had a trademark for # stand up.
Okay.
The Drew Galloway faction or slogan. That was one of theirs. Hey, I stand corrected. They did have a trademark on one of their characters, Aaron Rex.
That went over well. So they only have trademarks over people who have left the company.
Three count. Jeff Jarrett, Abyss.
Wait, three count?
There's one for three count. See who
was Shane. How long was Shane Helms there?
Shane Helms still works for the company. TNA one point had the trademark for three count. It's now abandoned. No one actually owns that trademark. You all can go to USPTO.gov and you can see these for yourself.
It's a real fun game. It's just to go through and search TNA names and see if they actually come up or not.
They also have one for Austin Starr.
No longer with the company.
No longer with the company. But they had it. It died in 2008, but they had it. Canadian Enforcer. No claim is made to exclusive right to use Canadian apart from the mark as shown. Canadian Enforcer. They've owned Jeff Jarrett for a long time, even though he left for 2 years.
Doesn't really surprise me.
Size Matters was one of them. They had Size Matters.
Was that back in like the Phi Alpha Slam days or?
Nobody moves, nobody gets hurt.
That one I remember.
And of course, everyone's favorite, Sports Entertainment Extreme.
So many people would want that more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Also, Main Event Mafia.
Just stop right there.
Yeah. This is getting monotonous, Rock.
I know. Also, Curryman. Here's one they still own.
Okay, alright, too far.
They own Curryman still. They actually own Curryman
and Suicide.
Don't actually see one for Suicide. Anyway.
It'd be ironic if TNA had the trademark to Suicide.
Suicide.
You never fucking know.
It's too many Suicides to look through. Anyway.
Aww.
Darkest sketch. Darkest sketch.
This is why we can't have nice things. Anyway, go back. Yes.
Oh, you're tuned into WTR Sunday Night. When we come back, we're diving into the WWE Top 10 List Book. Presented by DK Publishing out on May 9th. We'll give you all the full details. Because this is actually something we can actually plug correctly. Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What is the greatest Marvel character of all time? CB Radio has decided.
If I've learned anything about life, it's this. Always play the hand you're dealt. My name is Gambit. And I play for keeps.
Too bad you don't know how to do anything but pick pockets and steal candy from babies.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
It's the Greater Than Great Debate. Heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of what I'm there for. And I have a unique set of skills, you know, not to sound like Liam Neeson here in Taken, but I have a unique set of skills that nobody else has here. Because now I can wrestle and I can fight a little bit, but also, too, I can use my brain and my vast legal experience to provide them with some, case studies and so forth and legal advice to try and get Brooke out of this whole jam, hopefully.
And I definitely hope you can, and there's nothing wrong with bragging about a unique set of skills. Trust me, we do it all the time. And I have to ask, just because he's a really good friend of ours, I'm sure you've met Matt Goldberg, the director of Terrified. I'm just curious if maybe at some point you're going to talk to him about possibly doing a documentary on your journey at all.
Gosh, I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that, but I would love to do that. Get him in touch with me, because I'd love to sit down and talk about that. My God, that could be a great Lifetime original series or something like that, the journey of Joseph Park. I'm kind of digging that.
Yeah, we will, you know what, we'll talk to him right after we do the interview, and we will definitely get him in touch with you, because I think that would be amazing.
That sounds great.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that'd be a great ABC after-school special or a Lifetime original series, or, you know, that thing, it could be great.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back to WT Sunday Night Live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network. So, the fine folks over at DK Publishing about a month ago decided to send me the book, the WWE Book of Top Tens, which is available on May 9th. And we've been doing a segment on CB Radio, where we go through a few of the lists and sort of see how much knowledge you guys may or may not know about the WWE and sort of go from there. Now, as proven last night, when you do catchphrases, not everyone will know catchphrases like, I'm the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. That's okay. We can forgive those people. But now, to test the knowledge of Omega and Mike and eventually Tim, we're going to start you off easy. They have a list in the book, the top 10 announcers of all time. These are backstage interviewers, ring announcers, and general, play-by-play guys. Start throwing out some names. Who do you think's on the list?
Jim Ross.
Jim Ross is number one on the list. Mike?
Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler is number five on the list. Oh, my God.
Bobby Heenan.
He's number three. By now, I've already would have hit the fail button a few times. Mike? Don't start Googling names.
I'm not Googling names. That's a thing. Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. I hate to do this. JBL? Of course.
Okay, so we're talking like announcers, interviewers, that kind of thing?
Interviewers, announcers, ring announcers.
Mean Gene Okerlund.
Number four.
Fuck! What? Give me the Fink.
Howard Finkel.
You win!
Number nine. Oh my God.
Oh. Joey Styles.
Joey Styles.
That's bullshit.
Number eight.
That's bullshit. Give me Michael Cole.
Michael Cole is number six.
Oh, come on.
What, you're unhappy he's number six? He should be number one?
No, I wanted a nice little jingle thingy.
I got Final Fantasy Victory theme. You got a ding.
Right. The fuck?
Oh my God.
I'm starting to come up short in my head here. Which might be because I think everyone else is awful. We're missing a number two, aren't we?
You're missing number two, yes. You're missing number two, number 7 and number 10.
Oh, can I go?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Show me Jonathan Coachman. Oh, that's bullshit.
Hey, you got music. God, not Coachman. Not Coachman. God, no. I'm trying to think who else. Because there's so many that did commentary, but I don't think that's what they would be known for if I were to say their name.
Say one of them.
No, because commentary was something they did besides their actual character. Because, like, you know, cause you had, like, Piper and Macho Man in the commentary, but they wouldn't, you know, that's not what they were known to be. God, it's all shots in the dark from here, I think.
To give you a hint, 2 play-by-play guys and a ring announcer.
What was the question again?
Top 10 announcers. So you 2 play-by-play people and a ring
announcer. Okay, we're specifying play-by-play, not color.
There's your hint.
Hmm.
Wait, so just top 10 ring announcers and top 10...
These are top 10 announcers.
Oh shit, Tony Kimmel!
You suck!
Oh, you're a bitch. Tony Kimmel! Alright, I guess. Dirty motherfucker.
Do we dare mention a WCW name here?
Yeah, go ahead and say it.
Let's just... Okay, we gotta start spitballing here, so let's just get names off the table. Tony Schiavone. Alright, off the table.
Well, I'll be damned. Let's go with Justin Roberts.
You're a loser.
Well, fuck.
Gorilla Monsoon.
He was number 7.
Fuck. Wait. Number 2.
Fuck. Vince. What?
Not known as a play-by-play guy, even though that's what he did for a long time.
I'm just saying.
You want more hint for the number 2?
The entertainment lover. Yeah.
This person was at his profession for 35 years.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's that other WCW commentator?
What's that? It was him.
Just say it.
Steve Mongo McMichael would be wrong.
No, shut up.
Thank God. Mike Tenay.
Thank you. Well, bitch, I give up. Fuck.
No, God, number 2 is bugging the shit out of me.
As an announcer for 35 years, many commentators have mimicked his precise, serious style.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
But that's the description. Go ahead.
Gordon Solie. God.
Wow.
Took me forever to think of that.
Now you have the ring announcer. It should be very easy.
It's not a whole lot. It should be very easy. What number is this on the list?
Number 10.
Okay, so of course it'd be that low.
Good job, chat room. Good job.
Oh, the chat. Oh, God. Now you look at the chat room. Zero said Howard Finkel. He'd be the number 1 for top, for like just a ring announcer position.
So who would be number 2?
Well, it wasn't Tony Schimmel. We cleared that one out of the way. So let's.
I don't think it's Mike Adamly either.
No, it's probably not Mike Adamly. Let's say. Let's say Lillian Garcia.
Oh shit! I forgot about her. Oh, sorry, Lillian. I love you though.
So that was the warm up. Top 10 greatest managers.
Bobby Heenan.
Number 1.
Paul Heyman.
No, I don't want to turn.
Number 4. Omega, you get 2 in a row. Go.
I get 2 in a row now.
Oh, I was about to say, I can do this. I think I can probably name the top 10.
You want to Jim Cornette.
Jim Cornette? James Z. Cornette. Really?
Wow.
Okay, now you got me thinking. Paul Bearer.
Number 5.
Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Number 8.
Paul Ellering. The fuck?
God, I'm really thinking on this one now. I'm blanking here. I will admit I don't know managers as well.
Mr. Fuji.
Number 6.
Miss Elizabeth.
Number 7. Don't Google managers.
I'm not Googling managers. Dude, I'm just now remembering, even though this was sometime probably before my time. What was that bitch's name? sorry,
What's that bitch's name?
What the fuck was that bitch's name? Oh, God. I don't know. I don't think I know. And this is just WWE, isn't it?
WWE. One from WCW.
Oh, God.
I can't believe I'm about to say this. Eric Bischoff. Okay. I'm good then. All right.
Lou Albano.
Captain Lou.
There we go.
He was number 10.
Oh, wow. He just barely made the son of a bitch.
You want some hints?
Please.
Give me a little bit.
For number 9, this person led the villainous superstar Iron Sheik to the WWE Championship in 83. He then guided the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov to the tag team titles at WrestleMania in 85.
Oh, this still isn't helping me. This is before my time.
Oh, son of a bitch.
His album.
Hold on.
I love the pain that this is bringing to me.
I needed to record this just for audio clips. Just for sound effects.
Fuck, what is that bitch's name? Arnold something. Fuck.
He officially says Arnold something.
Arnold Scalan? Arnold Skyland? Something like that.
Skolan, and that would mean you.
No, fuck that.
This manager was classy.
Freddie Blassie.
Oh my god, how did I... I'm ashamed of that. Genuinely ashamed.
I am too.
Alright, for a hint for number 7, ooh yeah.
Randy Savage. Wait! I said Miss Elizabeth.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I said Miss Elizabeth in the beginning.
Did he?
Yes.
I think I remember.
Alright, then if he gave that one, alright, my bad. Alright, so...
Rick!
Harumph! Oh yeah, Ric Flair.
So we did one. We need number 4 and number 2. Number 3 and number 2. That's what we need. 3 and 2. At some point, you could have heard this voice in a theme song, but now you don't.
That's a lot of niggas.
The person's not black.
Well, yeah, I know that. Blah, blah, blah. Damn. God bless America.
What once was a sister, but in another promotion, but in WWE, she was not a sister. She was more
sensational. Sharon.
There you go. All
right.
GW, Grand Wizard. Motherfucker. Oh, you know that's completely bullshit.
We might have to call the cat. We might have to throw in the towel on this one.
You have 4 more guesses.
J.J. Dillon.
Hey, look at all that. Fanfare.
It's not Final Fantasy.
I have one more list prepared, but he's not here.
that's fine. We can do one more list.
No, it was the top 10 Canadian superstars.
Bret Hart, Ty Dillinger, Petey Williams.
No. Petey Williams, fuck that.
What, Omega?
Nothing, just...
What, the top 10 Canadian superstars?
No, just, like, don't rattle the fucking things off now. Like, listen.
Alright.
I kind of want to see if Tim actually gets his ass back here.
I know, that's why I'm trying to stall, so I'm going to find another list for
us. Oh, we're stalling great here, because we can't figure this the fuck out.
We could do the top 10 good guys gone bad.
Shawn Michaels.
Or we could do top 10 famous families. We could do Texas, top 10 Texas superstars. No, here's one. We'll do this one. The top 10 NXT champions.
Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is,
What?
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins.
Wow.
Samoa Joe. Before them niggas, I know Omega, I know.
Okay. This is not just solo belt, all belts.
How recent is this list?
Well, Samoa Joe's on it.
Sami Zayn.
Sami!
Very, very short-lived champion, if I remember right.
Neville.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Adrian Neville. And let's do Bo Dallas.
Hey, whoa.
Sorry.
Put the fucking brakes on here. two of us here. God damn it.
Omega.
Sorry.
Say two of them.
Bailey.
List indeed.
No kidding.
One more, Omega.
God, now I'm trying to think all championships.
Pick the one who stay in the championship.
Okay. I'm out.
Charlotte. Sasha Banks.
Had to stop somewhere.
Missing an obvious one.
Shinsuke. Obviously not that obvious. We can't think of it. Asuka.
There's your obvious one.
Yeah.
Number 7, that was Asuka. So you have you got number 2, number 4 got stained, number 5, number 6, number 7, number 10. I don't remember if you said number 9 or not. We'll find out.
Not like I said. NXT champions.
Yeah, trying to think of everyone else who went through there. Finn Balor.
You win!
Number 1.
Alright. But it's still not number 9.
It's like fucking Family Feud. It's those low ones that are so hard to think up.
Was he champion?
Say the name. We'll find out.
Say his name.
I don't think Big E was NXT champion.
No.
I don't think so.
Number 9. Number 9 was Big E.
What?
He was the second champion. He was number 9.
Huh.
He needed 5, remember?
Wow.
So, we need number 3 and number 8. And they're both similar because they're not single.
Oh, we're moving to tag teams now?
There you go.
No flips, just fists.
Number 8.
Oh, we're doing one more?
We're judging on quality. I was going to say, are we judging on quality or longevity? Because there's a huge gulf here. Do I dare say the Ascension?
They were number 3.
How the mighty have fallen.
They were the longest reigning tag team champions.
Yeah, that's why I threw it out there. But, like, a lot since.
Trying to see if how long Tim's going to be because I will do one more list. Go ahead.
I.
You okay?
The Ascension. Oh, that
hurt. Stop making these noises.
No, you don't understand. That hurt.
That hurt?
Yeah, considering the fact that I forgot about them.
Oh. Don't worry, so did WWE.
Ooh.
Hmm.
I speak false.
You speak truth.
He is a speaker of the truth. Throughout this book, just for people aware, you have everything from top WrestleMania performers to unusual matches to specific, you know, countries, the list, Survivor Series moments. All of this can be found in the WWE Book of Top Tens, available May 9th at all local bookstores everywhere. Thanks to DK Publishing for allowing us the chance to look at this book. We'll have a full review up on the website at wildtalkradio.com later in the week. So go out and buy the book, because it is a really awesome, awesome book. Since he's not here, we're going to dive right into the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in a real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
Omega Samoa Joe Orbis.
It's two very, very similar themes that really, they bring it with the character connection with the opening and give in to those heavy guitar riffs toward the end. God, those are two intros that are both all about that beginning note, getting the fans on their feet for who's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love those descending notes from Abyss's theme. It's like the spiraling staircase going down into the depths of insanity, and it works. It's a perfect little noise for that.
Mm-hmm.
Those low horns for Joe, though, there's such authority and dominance behind the noise alone. It's like those drums that come in for Goldberg's theme. It's just this very primal noise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, things like that just put in your head that destruction is on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like both themes for what they're going for. I will put Joe's just a little bit ahead.
Mike?
Dale Oliver is known for his guitar riffs and stuff, and I have to agree with Omega. Abyss, Psycho Staircase, so he's coming to get you. But when you hear Samoa Joe's music, his music just screams, "I'm coming for you, nigga." So I'm gonna have to say Joe.
So Samoa Joe moves on. We'll be right back. Bobby Roode or Team Canada?
I'm sorry, Bobby Roode.
God, that Bobby Roode theme is so goddamn generic, but...
But it speaks Wall Street.
Does it?
A little bit.
Because, like, I'll give that to... I would give that credit to JBL's theme. But, like, that theme was just, like, TNA just hired a heavy metal guitarist. That's all... That's pretty much what they hired for a musician. I don't know, there's... But look what the competition is. It's Oh Canada. Like I have to, by default, like, goodbye in round two, but for now I have to give it to Bobby Roode simply because it's something created for him as opposed to just pulling a national anthem.
So Bobby Roode moves on. Next one. I should be smart to raise up the volume. Here we go. Next one. Yo, 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 los futuros de lucha libre estás aquí. To live and die in LEX. Latinos, stand up. Notorious 187 and his posse. So, Megan, do you live and die in LAX, or are you the alpha male?
You know what? I personally am not down with the sickness. I'll be honest, I'm not huge on either one, but in this case, I'd probably go with LAX.
Mike?
No, oh, that's when TNA got desperate. LAX.
I like that when TNA got desperate. None of you like the pounds. Okay. No one felt the pounds.
If Monty Brown had picked a better theme, then yes, I'd have been down with the pounce. I'm not down with the secondhand sickness.
Okay, so that's the all-time greatest, because we're going back to the book of lists, because we have one more list to do, and he's finally back. We get to do the list. Are you ready, Tim?
No.
Too bad.
Did anybody miss me?
Yes, because we
with every shot we took, Tim.
I had you guys playing in the background. I was talking to my son.
We understand. So, top 10 Canadian superstars. Tim, who's number one?
Am I allowed to say Bret Hart?
He's number one. Keep going. Number two.
Okay. Number two would, am I allowed to say Chris Jericho?
Well, he's not number two, but he's on the list. He's number four.
Okay. Am I allowed to say Owen Hart?
You are allowed to say Owen Hart, number seven.
Am I allowed to say Edge?
Number two.
Am I allowed to say Christian?
Number nine.
Oh, how many have I said?
You got five.
Five. Good.
Five? Oh, shit. I got another five to think up.
Yeah.
I want to see how many you can get without hitting a fail buzzer.
Oh, wow. Well, five in a row. How am I doing compared to everybody else?
Doing way better than, you're doing way better than Saturday.
He made us take turns.
I know, but this is for Tim. This is Canadian.
I wanted to play too, goddammit.
Okay.
I know, I'm sorry.
Go help him out, my guy, if you want.
Okay, am I allowed to say...
All right, Tim, keep going.
I'm sorry, I didn't know Omega wanted to talk.
No, I wanted to play too when it was me and Mike.
And Mike just started rattling.
Now I want to hear you flounder.
Oh, okay. Am I allowed to say Stu Hart? Your list is fucked up if Stu Hart is not... I'm sorry, what'd you say, Omega?
And it stands at five in a row.
Okay, here it is. If Stu Hart is not on that list is fucked up.
Christian.
I said Christian.
One, he's already said it. No helping. Let him finish.
Fine.
Stu Hart should be on that list.
Okay. Get over it.
Fine, Lance Storm.
Lance Storm.
That thing is rigged, I'm sorry.
That thing's truly damned rigged. It really is.
Missing an easy one.
Trish Stratus. Was that the easy one?
No, that's number three, though.
Really? First wasn't the easy one?
Not for you. Which would be very easy for you.
Okay, Mike's hint is not helping at all because he's tone deaf. What the hell was that?
Oh my god.
Oh my god, I can't believe Mike said it. Yeah, I know.
So let's see, you got number one, number two, number three, number four, number seven, number nine.
Oh shit, you mean there are others? Like Roddy Piper?
You suck!
So does this fucking list if Roddy Piper isn't on there. I call
he's
bullshit.
He's missing too, isn't he?
I'm sorry, I call bullshit. Those are two of the greatest Canadian wrestlers of all time that are not on this list.
You're missing a very obvious one. You mention it every time, every week, almost.
Well, I'm probably not even going to be able to now because you're saying it's that obvious I'm going to forget.
You mentioned this person in an earlier segment repeatedly.
Yeah, you're expecting me to say Natalia. But she hasn't been around long enough to be called one of the top 10 greatest. I'm sorry, her grandfather belongs on that list before she does.
She was number six.
We're not arguing who should be on the list. We're just arguing who is on this particular list.
Can we complain about this list?
I think you just did.
Where do emails go for this, Rob?
Why are you giving out emails when I'm bitching about the list being wrong when the list isn't right?
Keep going, Tim.
You only do that when I say racist bullshit that, you know, upsets you.
Nothing upsets me.
Just one reason I like you.
Would you like some hints, Tim?
Yeah, you can give me hints if you really, really want to.
Two of these people are from Montreal.
Are you telling me Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
Am I telling you Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
Oh, ooh, my God, I think I know great. One.
I think I know one.
You think you know it? You think you know it?
What you is think it? You know me?
I think I know it.
What is it?
Almost.
Do you want to type it or do you want to say it?
Just
here,
say
let
it.
Me do it. Oh, no, let me do this.
No.
Real? Okay. I have faith in this list now.
You didn't say Dino Bravo, did you?
Yes, that's exactly what I said. I said Dino Bravo.
No, that was not one of my guesses. Take that back. I'll count that as taking it back. And yeah, Dino Bravo is from Montreal, but he's definitely not one of the 10 greatest.
And the other one's from Quebec City.
Don't tell me it's a Rougeau. Good.
No, Mike.
Okay, cool. Never mind.
Oh, Mike sent you one too? What did you say, Mike?
Booby Roode.
Yeah, it's Bobby Roode? No, he doesn't belong on that list yet either. So how many left do I have to figure?
Three.
Out?
Two from Montreal and one from Quebec. These are old school people too.
When you say old school people.
70s, a couple, the two from Montreal, 60s, 70s, 80s, and the Quebec one is from 80s, 90s.
Well, one of them is Pat Patterson, the other one is Briscoe. Okay, it's not Briscoe.
I don't think Briscoe's Canadian.
I think Gerald Briscoe's Canadian.
Oh!
No.
Really?
So I gotta get two Canadians from the 70s from Quebec.
No.
No?
One from 80s, 90s.
One from 80s, 90s from Quebec, and one 60s, 70s, 80s, 60s, 70s from Montreal.
Or probably early. Not gonna get them.
Or earlier than that.
Until you tell me.
No, Mike, no.
What did you guess, Mike?
Koloff.
I could have said Santino Marella, because he's from
I swear to God, that's right. Okay.
No, I said I could have, but he's from Mississauga.
The one from Quebec City won singles and tag team championships in WWE and around the world.
Who did he tag with?
The book does not say. Just reading the book. The one from Quebec City was very arrogant.
Oh, Martel.
And another one from Montreal was a Hall of Famer. Won the AEWA World Heavyweight Championship 5 times during his 36-year-long career.
36-year career?
Yeah, it may have been before the 80s.
God damn it.
Part of his name is an animal.
Are you talking about Billy Lyons? Okay, and it wasn't Bulldog Brower.
It's not Happy Cat. Opposite of Happy Cat is
Mad Dog Vacheron. I still got more than everybody else.
It's not Happy Cat.
How did I get? Yeah, would you have gotten Mad Dog out of Happy Cat?
No.
I just know I was fucking.
He would have. I would have lost in Dick Clark's $1,000 pyramid. $100,000 pyramid.
When I'm running out of ideas for them on Saturday, I have to stoop to those levels.
I
only got it because I know how Rock's brain works.
Top 10 Texans. Number 1, Shawn Michaels.
Do you want to do one more list, or you want to go to, from top to bottom?
Oh, well, good top to bottom.
I can't do top to bottom because I didn't get a chance to watch wrestling this week.
So you want to skip top to bottom and do one more list?
Yeah.
Where's this list from?
The book.
Christ, I actually prepared a top to bottom. Oh, okay, never mind.
Well, Omega, you can do your top to bottom.
It's time to rank the best.
Have you forgotten that I'm the best in the world at what I do? Huh?
And worst.
Shut your damn mouth! I'm the best wrestler alive today!
Wrestlers of the Week. It's top to bottom.
All right, Omega, who are your top three wrestlers of the week?
Top three would be Dean Ambrose for being entertaining as hell throughout Raw. Sheamus and Cesaro for having a really good reasoning for their heel turn, which is one of those too true, I have to hate it things that we talked about with Chris Jericho. And Chris Jericho, because it's the last time I'm going to get to do it for a while.
Mike, top three wrestlers of the week.
Dean Ambrose, Candice LeRae, and Ruby Riott.
Bottom three wrestlers of the week, Omega.
Sin Cara for having so little to do, he's starting to rip off Naomi. Enzo Amore, whose signature move continues to be headbutting other people's fists. And Titus O'Neil for winning a match against a cameraman and probably losing in court.
He got swerved. Mike.
Oh, God. Titus O'Neil. Bad Omega, bad Omega.
What? I didn't sue him.
I know. Asuka, because she ruined a fucking good match. And... Huh. Enzo Amore.
And that'll do it for WTR tonight.
Well, that's it, everybody. That's all she wrote. Next week, there's no pay-per-view, so we're on again at the exact same time. 10 o'clock Eastern. Sunday.
But we will...
A lot of shit happening between now and then.
But we will be previewing...
Oh, we're previewing the SmackDown pay-per-view.
Backlash, Jinder Mahal's big opportunity. We'll discuss it in full detail next week.
Jinder Mahal will make me win. Jinder Mahal will give me points.
Next week's Mother's
Day. I'm waiting for the next wellness round.
Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the Raw post show. I think we should call it right after wrestling, but Rock is an idiot.
I am not an idiot. It's the Raw post show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down on 3 hours.
Oh. And it's right after wrestling, R-A-W.
Monday Night Raw, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Tuesday night, hey, it's WTR Sims. Watch me retain my both, either one of my titles. You know, one of these days, Omega, I'm coming after you to grab that, and so I hold all the titles, man. Are you ready for that?
That's assuming I don't take yours first.
And, for the record, Omega has no belts.
Yeah, I know. Jobber beat him, didn't he?
Subway.
Subway beat him, that's right! I can't believe Subway beat your ass, Omega. That was last Tuesday.
Well, I've beaten Deadpool since then, okay?
You beat Deadpool before that.
And then you lost to Subway again.
And then you lost Subway again. So is there a rematch for Omega's title on Tuesday night?
That happened last Saturday, last Tuesday.
Okay, so that was the rematch. All right, so what's going to be in store? I don't know. Subway will take on all comers.
It is the weekly television internet championship, so Subway will defend the belt. Tim will probably defend the belt. And so much more, it's WTRSims, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday nights. You can go to wildtalkradio.com, click the button the very top or at the very bottom. You can come watch WTRSims. The archive is available at youtube.com/RackRadioShow.
There you go. Yeah, Thursday night, another edition of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock Radio Show.
We're on the road to 5 years on June 29th. Come listen to us talk about NXT, SmackDown, and all the news you can possibly handle. It's The Rock, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out The Rock Extra, Total Divas, Season 6, Episode 15, now available. The season finale, Episode 16, will be available on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, Saturday night, midnight ish, or as close as they can get to it, it's another edition of the Greater Than Great Debate.
Last night we did Marvel. This week we're doing TV theme songs. It's Greater Than Great Debate. Tune in, Saturday night's midnight ish, #BlameRob, one of the celebrity guys. See me live on the Facebook and the Twitter and the .com.
Yeah. You know what? You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. You can, as soon as the restrictions are lifted.
See our Facebook page on your news feed.
Yeah. You follow Wild Talk Radio on Facebook, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. There's no goddamn reason why we've been restricted on Facebook. They're just being cunts.
But you can't say that in Canada.
Well, too bad.
Someone go find this man. He said it in Canada. Do something about it.
You know who said that?
Who?
An Australian comedian.
Couldn't make a comment, but not. Go ahead, Tim. More plugs.
Follow me on Twitter, at FlamesForums.
You can buy his book, too.
Apparently, Lone Jobber bought a hardcover copy, like a hard copy, of my cookbook from the Man Kitchen. Go to mankitchentv.com. Buy the goddamn thing, either in PDF format, pay $10 Canadian, and have it downloaded immediately upon purchase to your computer, and you can put it on your cake, your Kindle, or whatever it is that you hold in your hand, your tablet, your smartphone, or your computer itself. Or spend $15 plus shipping and have an actual physical copy made specifically just for you and mailed to you in the actual mail, like Jobber did. Because that's what he did.
He did. He, in fact,
am I plugged up?
I don't know. You tell me. You had a lot
am
of coke.
Am I plugged out?
You had a lot of coke earlier, so I don't know if you're plugged up or plugged out. Omega!
So, as usual, most of my stuff can be found under one name, unless you're the Facebook type, in which case you'll have to search for TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else on the internet, it is TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is also the YouTube channel, which is about to become exceptionally busy, because it's going to be a big, big month on my schedule. And for the stuff that YouTube won't let you see, there is always TJOmega.org.
Mike.
And for me, you guys can add me on the Twitter page. It is the WTR Oreo. I'm doing I have a little project thingy. Yes, I do. For those of you who want to look on the YouTube page, you can look at United Wrestling. We have a video that will be presented this week. And I will give you more information on that very soon.
Reminder, you can catch a review of WWE, the Book of Top Tens, this week at wildtalkradio.com. Go out and buy the book. It's available on May 9th. Thanks to the folks at DK Publishing for providing us with the book. It's an awesome book. We'll do more lists as the weeks go by, but the review will be up at wildtalkradio.com. Follow us, like us, spread the word, get us on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim says goodbye now.
Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Radio.com.